Hey guys, thanks for tuning into Fit Club. Tonight we have special guest Nikki Sharp. She's the best-selling author of 5-Day Real Food Detox. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, I am excited, and I'm loving this tune that we have in the background. What did you say it was? Havana?
Havana.
Havana.
Makes me want to go to Cuba.
It does. And tonight I have special guest Nikki Sharp. She is a wellness expert, best-selling author, and many, many other things. And she's going to give us the lowdown on her book, The 5-Day Real Food Detox, along with you have a second book coming up.
I do have a second book.
That she might be able to spill some tea on. And she has a lot of other things going on that we will get filled in on tonight. So I'm excited. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon across all social media. And if people want to check you out while they're listening on the show tonight, where can they find you?
NikkiSharp.com and at Nikki Sharp on Instagram.
All right. So I just kind of want to tell people how I met you. So you are kind of head of marketing or social media over at Tantris, which is Russell Simmons' yoga studio. Now, you're a yoga teacher too. Is that correct?
I am.
Okay, so you are just a woman of many facets. You have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So how did you get that role?
Oh my goodness. Do you want the short version or the long version?
No,
I'll give you the short. So the short version is I built my own brand, mm-hmm. and companies started to notice that, because when you do everything on your own and mm-hmm. you build a brand, it shows that you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So Russell Simmons is a good friend of mine, and I was giving him some pointers on his Instagram one day.
And what pointers did you give him?
Oh, God.
This would be interesting to hear.
Stop. He's going to hate me for this. I was telling him to basically stop being so bipolar with everything that he posts. So my big tip for anyone listening is,
I'm going to write this down. I need to up my social media skills.
Is really to focus on one or two things that you want to promote. And you can switch things out each week, but don't try to post everything all at once every day.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you follow him, and I love him, he's so passionate about everything, mm-hmm. and he posts everything all in one day. Day after day. Yeah. And so I was kind of giving him some pointers, and then I had visited his yoga studio, Tantris, in November. Mm-hmm. I took some beautiful photos. He reposted them. And then, you know, all of a sudden I was kind of in the running to do social media, nice. Where I was like, oh, okay. And I love it, though, because this is, I call it my side hustle, in that I do consulting for companies and brands and individuals who want to up their game on mm-hmm. social media and monetize it, and really need to understand where their brand's going and how social media affects it. So
how did you get your brand to where it is? Because I remember the first time I went onto your page and I'm like, whoa, like, where did, like, how did I not know about you? And why is everybody in the world following you? And then after watching your stories, I kind of like had a girl crush on you. I'm like, you're cooking in the kitchen and you're like beautiful, but then like you're authentic. Like, I just remember seeing one post of you and like you were very just open about like cellulite and bad lighting.
Oh,
and
I'm like, that post.
This is my girl. Like,
yeah.
What made you be so open and honest and authentic on social media?
I love that question, and thank you for asking it. I think it's really important for people to understand that social media is a tool to share our lives, but we don't post anything that makes us look bad. Most people don't.
And it's true. Like, to be honest, like, just about myself, I'm into health and fitness, and, you know, I'm a trainer, and I personally, like, I won't post a video if I look fat.
Of course. But, I mean, and that's everyone.
And it's bad because it's like I'm trying to get myself out of that.
Yeah.
I am curvy, and I feel like I usually get a lot of followers because I don't look like the typical trainer, but I find myself not truly being authentic. So how do you...
So that's... I was going to say, being authentic and sharing your struggles is key. I come from the world of modeling way back when. I was modeling and lived in 7 countries. Thank God we didn't have any social media during this point. And I remember just getting out of that world and getting into the health world and struggling with body image and what I was eating. And I remember looking up to people like Giselle and Miranda Kerr and supermodels that, you know, were in my realm of who I looked up to, and just thinking, you know what, I just wish that I knew that they had a bad day, that they ate like shit, and that they overcame it, and no big deal. And I'm like, I just so need to hear that, but nobody was coming out and saying that. Mm-hmm. It was this very perfect image. And I remember saying, if I ever become famous, I will be that girl that shares my struggles. And I never, ever thought that actually that would come true to the point where, you know, I did become well-known and
you're verified. You're good.
I'm verified. I'm verified. Therefore, I am. it is, to me, it's really easy to get also caught up in the whole Instagram world mm-hmm. and social media where, of course, I don't want to post myself if I don't look good. Mm-hmm. But there are times where I need to give myself a reality check mm-hmm. to be like, hey, I have stretch marks. Hey, I get bloated as F like mm-hmm. everyone else. And I think that it's social media is an incredibly powerful tool, but I think that if you can use it and share your authenticity and show that even if you look perfect on the outside, like we all struggle with literally the same thing, mm-hmm. all of us, all the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so if I can utilize my followers and share my authentic truth and self and things that I struggle with, I know that even if I help one person, that it was worth it.
Yeah.
And that's not to say like my profile is not beautiful and I don't post beautiful photos, but I also like to be flirty and fun and sexy and make health look sexy.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's really important.
And yet you do that.
Oh, yeah. You
look very sexy.
It's just because I was holding my boobies in one of the photos.
I did see that photo. That was pretty sexy. But you make even vegetables look sexy. Yeah. Like I see you posting about like ugly vegetables. You get ugly vegetables every week.
Produce. Yeah. I love it because it's just showing that health and wellness is silly. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's sexy to me. I think that it's sexy to take care of your body. And mm-hmm. I think that when we shift our mind frame of we do things because we don't love our body, like mm-hmm. I don't love my body, therefore I'm going to work out. Mm-hmm. If we can shift it to, no, I love my body, therefore I'm going to work out, mm-hmm. you start to actually see the results at that point.
So where are you originally from? Because I know California is all about health and wellness, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm a small town girl from Worcester, Massachusetts. Yeah. Were you born here and raised here, or where are you from?
I'm originally from Boulder, Colorado.
Colorado? Which actually, I think my roommate is from Boulder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's funny. That is funny.
We'll have to chat after. Yeah. So I'm from Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. It is a very, very active place. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a very active family. My father rock climbed. My mother actually, fun fact, went to the Olympics cycling 1984. Shout out, Mom.
What's her name?
Muriel Sharp.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to look her up.
And then my stepdad always hates me for doing this, but he was also a bodybuilder. Mm. So I grew up in a family, you know, of health and wellness, but I rebelled against it. I think anytime you're like in it, you're like, get me out of it. Mm-hmm. So it took me many years to really start to appreciate it. And it was only starting to appreciate it once I didn't have my health.
Okay. So when you say you didn't have your health, what happened?
I was modeling. Mm-hmm. I was not treating my body with respect. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, huge body dysmorphia, as you do when you're super skinny. And it's not that I was necessarily doing incredibly bad habits, but it's just, it's hard when, like, at 22, I was modeling internationally, mm-hmm. and then you're comparing yourself to 13, 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And it's like, they literally haven't gone through puberty yet.
Yeah.
So that was tough, and you start to look at yourself in different lights, and so you try all the, like, I had tried every diet under the sun, mm-hmm. and you soon realize diets don't work. Mm-hmm. So I started learning about health and wellness. I was in Colorado on a little sabbatical for modeling, mm-hmm. and I ended up just falling in love with it because it made me feel so good, mm-hmm. and I'd never had that feeling before.
So what was the first thing that you turned to that you realized, okay, what you're eating or nutrition can actually make you feel good both inside and out?
I had an aha moment, and everyone's going to laugh when you hear this. An aha moment, light bulb, like ding. Good food makes you feel good. Bad food makes you feel bad. It's like one of those crazy things where you're like, duh, but we all need to have that. And I was living in London mm-hmm. at the time, and I remember going home so hungry to the point where I actually had a few things meal prepped, and I went and made this beautiful salad, and I felt so good afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was this light bulb moment Whereas normally when you get home and if you're starving and you eat whatever, you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And when you're hungry, your body craves sugar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's when we're like, give me carbs, literally sugar, anything. Yeah. So it was a really big light bulb moment exactly then to be like, no, it's like food is more important than exercise to me for starting off.
Yeah. No, I agree.
What you put in your body, like within my detox, in 5 days, you feel amazing. That, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me. I remember I had John Sally the show. Yeah, yeah. And he said to me that, you know, if you were dying in the desert and you needed something to drink, your body isn't saying, get that Coca-Cola. You need a Coke. No, your body's saying, I need water.
Yeah.
Nothing else, water. You need water. So we really do the basics. But I think, you know, society, you know, comfort food and, you know, marketing of certain foods, they kind of sensualize food into thinking that we want or need other things, like a Carl's Jr. burger, a sexy, you know.
I mean, I grew up eating those things. I looked forward to it every week, and I'd be hungover, and I'd go get my Carl's Jr. $6 burger, and, you know, and then you start to realize that, and I try to share this in the sense that it's not this, like, big overhaul change you need to do. Mm-hmm. It's just you start to think, oh, I don't know if I actually feel that good. I don't have energy. Granted, I know I was hungover, but it's, I would feel crappy for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now if I drink and I'm hungover and I have a really nourishing breakfast,
mm-hmm.
I can go work out still. And, you know, by 2 o'clock, I feel great. Yeah. So it's all about putting the right things in. And it's hard because we've been brought up literally from the time we were born that we celebrate with food.
Mm-hmm.
So we celebrate with cake. We celebrate, you know, with things. We do barbecues. And so it's hard to not have some form of issues with food and wanting to lose weight or gain weight or whatever it might be, because there's so much emotional attachment to food. Like, we celebrate when we're angry, we eat it. When we're sad, we drink alcohol.
When you miss home, my mom's favorite meals.
Yeah, comfort food at night, comfort food in the winter. So there's a lot going on with food. And so that's really where I try to come in and just teach people, like, hey, let's do one step at a time. It's all about balance.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide, okay, it made you feel good for you, but now I want to share with the world and write a book?
The book came after I wrote an ebook, and I started a blog originally, just sharing these little recipes. I took all the photos on my iPhone, uploaded it, and it was just a way for me to share what I was doing. So did that, and then in December, I ended up writing this ebook called The 5-Day Detox, and there was nothing on the market like it. It was a few years ago. I was living in London. Juicing was not a thing yet. Smoothies were not a thing yet. And the only cleanse, there were literally two cleanses on the market. There was one by Shape Magazine, which was saying have a piece of salmon and like 6 spears of asparagus. And I was like, no.
No.
No. And then the other one was the Gwyneth Paltrow Clean Detox, which is like $400, 21 days of like pills or something. And I'm like a broke model and I want to eat food.
Yeah.
So I wrote my own. I knew about nutrition at the time. So I wrote it. I started selling it. It was 5 pounds, which translated to $8. And I started selling it on my Instagram, and people saw incredible results. Like, you can lose up to 13 pounds in 5 days.
And I think we actually have some before and after photos that we can put up on the screen. So if you're watching, you can actually see the before and after photos of people. I think I saw one woman who dropped like 10 pounds in 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
130 to 120 pounds. You can physically see her abs. Like,
yeah. I mean, people see incredible results. So I sold this as an ebook, and then it kept selling and it kept selling. And then eventually you're like, okay, I guess I'll do something more with it. And I ended up signing an incredible book deal with Random House, which was always a dream of mine. And so I signed a 2-book deal. I'm doing my second book now. And then I also created an app for it, which went number one in 6 countries in 24 hours.
Good for you. 24 hours?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. So that's the kind of the really short version. And I'm not a huge salesperson. I'm not in your face being like, you need to do this. I let the product speak for itself. And it's, I'd rather you do it when you feel ready.
Ready.
because at the end of the day, I think of it like the event detox. If you have an event coming up, mm-hmm. you're going on vacation, or even you just came back from vacation, mm-hmm. you're going to prom, you're going to the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of celebrity clients who will do it before a red carpet event for 5 days, and then they go in and, you know, they feel amazing, their skin is glowing. Mm-hmm. So
tell us, if you can, just a little sneak tea, I guess, you can spill for us about your new book coming out.
I'm so excited for this one. So this book is all about meal prepping, and I'm really surprised that a lot of people know about it, and mm-hmm. yet a lot of people don't know about it. Mm-hmm. So I break it down into a 4-week diet plan, and I don't really like the word diet. You know, there's negative connotations with it, but it's a 4-week diet plan, and it's all about meal prepping and how to see results, meal prepping week per week, mm-hmm. you know, spending a Sunday afternoon, really breaking it down into, like, what containers to use, mm-hmm. what are the steps, like, when should you start doing X, when do you do Y? Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing book, and I'm actually doing the photo shoot for it starting on Saturday.
Yay.
Yeah.
So what you're meal prepping, do you even give, like, specific foods?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, so full recipes.
Oh,
so it's
good.
It's 4 weeks of mm-hmm. breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. You do get to have dessert on it, too.
Good.
I talk about different teas and, like, making your own almond milk, and it's kind of like 4 books in one, in a sense, because it's a really big informational book when it comes to just health and nutrition. Mm-hmm. Then it goes into superfoods. I break it down into what's a super vegetable, super fruit.
What's a super vegetable? I never heard of a super
vegetable. I know, because that's I'm coining the term. So what I'm phrasing it as super fruit, super vegetable, like, you've heard super ingredients, or superfoods. So I took it being like, well, spirulina and chia seeds, I don't want to live on for the rest of my mm-hmm. life. So to me, that's actually a super ingredient, because you would not, like, if I give you turmeric, you're like, no, thank you. But you know it's good for you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, science has proven over and over again, like, we know that chia seeds are incredibly high in calcium and iron, magnesium. Mm-hmm. We know that spinach is good for us. We know that blueberries are good mm-hmm. for us. We know that basil and cilantro are incredibly good, right? So it's just breaking it down into, not saying that there are bad vegetables or bad fruits, but it's saying that there are certain fruits and vegetables, certain grains, certain herbs and spices that have incredibly detoxifying effects, no matter, you know, what time of day you're eating them. So mm-hmm. I break it down into, if you pair, you know, things like spirulina mm-hmm. in a certain, we'll say turmeric, in a certain salad dressing with lemon, and you put it with spinach, and then you put it with a super grain like quinoa, mm-hmm. you have a super meal, which means that it is incredibly nourishing. It's high in antioxidants, minerals, nutrients, vitamins. So it's going to reduce cravings. It's going to help you beat the bloat, and then you will see weight loss.
Nice. I cannot wait now to get my hands on all these superfoods and super greens. So being that you have all these superfoods, are there any vegetables or fruits that you actually don't recommend? Or, because I've heard, you know, a study saying, you know, you shouldn't eat bananas because they're high on the glycemic index. Or, you know, I went to, like, NutriShop and got a meal plan, and they said no carrots because, you know, so even I, as a trainer, get confused. Okay, what should I eat? What shouldn't I eat? Are all vegetables and fruits the same, or are there some that you do not recommend to eat?
This is the interesting thing about nutrition for me, is we know so much now. We know so much more than we did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yet with that knowing more comes actually more confusion.
Yeah, overload.
Right? Total overload. So you're like, should I be paleo, raw, vegan, raw till 4?
I'm so confused,
like,
myself.
Should I eat, like, Giselle and Tom don't eat nightshades? Is that good? Oh, yeah. So, okay, my theory on all of this.
Wait, what's a nightshade?
That's things that grow in the night. So, like, eggplants, tomatoes.
Oh.
Yeah, so they say that they're very high in acid and they don't break down in your body. And, you know, so eat your nightshades. Okay. Eat your nightshades. Okay, so to make it really simple, mm-hmm. I actually would say, look at your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about whatever diet is out there. If you eat meat right now, I'm going to say let's at least make it everything organic as possible, mm-hmm. and let's start to just transition into eating more whole foods. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't care. If you want to eat bananas and sweet potatoes, fantastic. I'd rather you eating those than, you know, process something that says gluten-free, mm-hmm. this, that, the other. Like, eat the real foods. I think that all fruits and vegetables are incredibly nourishing. They're all good for you. Mm-hmm. We have them all for a reason. Yes, we know that certain things, the really highly pigmented fruits and vegetables are going to be the best for you. So I always try to say, like, beets and carrots and turmeric root, spinach, anything that can almost stain your clothing, that's strawberries, high pigments are going to be really, really high in antioxidants.
That's a good tip.
Right? So focus on that. And then don't not eat bananas because you've heard that, you know, they're bad for you. But I would say don't eat 4 bananas in a day calling it a meal.
Yeah.
Instead, pair it with, you know, some almond butter, mm-hmm. put some almond milk, homemade almond milk that you've made, mm-hmm. throw in vegan protein powder or, you know, whatever protein powder you want. If you're going to do a really quick smoothie, throw in some blueberries because we know they're really good for us. And suddenly you have a more complete meal, mm-hmm. versus just eating bananas and then you're going to be hungry. It spikes your blood sugar.
Yeah.
It's also, like, I hate to say it, but it's kind of common sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you hear, like, all of a sudden bananas are bad for you and you're like, all right, that's it. No more bananas.
Yeah.
A little common sense.
Mm-hmm. I love that you just said that. Like, look at your lifestyle and try to just take it whole. Don't prescribe to one way of eating. And I think that's something even I have been struggling with. You know, we were talking prior to the show about What the Health, and we talked about it on this show, and it was amazing. And I do believe the vegan lifestyle has bonuses, but I'll be honest, I am struggling. I went vegan for 3 months. And, you know, I did see great results, but I went on vacation, came back, and then the whole not eating eggs, I did okay, and now I'm starting to eat eggs again. And it's just like, I feel like it's kind of too much all at once. And now I'm kind of starting to settle into the organic and pescatarian mm-hmm. way. And I feel like my body is responding well to that without being, like, overwhelmed.
Right.
So I really like that you said that. It's trying to go more whole, more natural, and not, like, being extreme and just taking everything out. Unless that's your personality. Because
if you're cold turkey, then do it. Go cold turkey and mm-hmm. whatever it is. I just have found with clients that I work with, you get more lasting success when you look at what your lifestyle is and you start to make small changes. So if you are eating eggs and meat, okay, I'm not going to say stop eating it overnight, but I am going to say if you're going to 100%, you need to be having pasteurized organic eggs. You, like, to me, that is not even an option not to. If you're going to be having meat, do not be buying meat from the grocery store and going out every night, like, I need my protein and all of that. Instead, try to cut it down and have quality versus quantity. So having farm, grass-fed, you know, farm-to-table style food, and then make that change and see how you feel.
Yeah. Because what we were discussing is that sometimes, you know, when you go from one extreme to the other, just because it says vegan on it doesn't mean it's not processed.
Right.
And I started realizing that too. I think I bought, it was really good. I bought some, like, tempeh, fake bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at all the ingredients. I'm like, what? How do you pronounce that? What is that?
Yeah.
I was, like, really confused.
I mean, so it's...
So I knew it was processed.
Like,
so
look
I'm
at the ingredient list. If you can't pronounce it or it's really long, don't eat it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... That's why going back to this whole thing of we have to cook our food. We have to know where it comes from. And if you're saying, like, oh, I don't have time, okay, you might not have time now, but you eventually will probably get sick in some form or another.
Yeah. I was telling my boyfriend, too, like, when we buy our house, I want to start a garden.
Amazing. Because
I don't trust food anymore. I'm like, I'm just going to grow my own vegetables.
Well, and even what's really sad is that even in a lot of restaurants and places where you do get, you know, organic food, there's no regulations on it. So unless you actually know the owners and you're like, I know you're going to the farmer's market, but yeah. I really do. And I think this is why people follow me, is because I am very real and saying, look, you don't need to make this crazy overnight change, mm-hmm. because I think it's unrealistic to people. And I've done the same. I went vegan. I went raw. I've done all these different things.
I went raw for a little too.
Boy, oh, that was intense, right? And what I found is that if you go too extreme, you're going to go back to the other mm-hmm. way. And
it's like working out. You know? Exactly. You're like, yeah, I'm on this fitness journey. It's January 1st. And you work out 7 days in a row, and then you burn out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then you're done, and you're like, screw it, I gained the weight, whatever. Yeah. I'll wait till next January. Yeah. Right? Instead, it's like, okay, well, let's focus on getting, I always say, get 3 colors at each meal. That's it. I don't even care what you're eating. I just want you to focus on having 3 colors.
Yeah. So if you That's guys it. Are not yeah. taking notes, yeah. take notes.
Yes, 3 notes right now.
Each meal. I love that.
It really is quite simple, and I feel honored that people follow me and I get to share this sort of message, because I've been through the ringer when it comes to health. I've tried every diet under the sun. Yeah. I've been vegan. I've been raw. I've been more paleo.
So what are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
So, and this is the funny thing. I get a lot of people asking that. Mm-hmm. And
I can't tell on your Instagram. Right. I'm like, is she vegan? I think she is. Yeah. She's vegan-ish.
I would say I'm vegan-ish. And the reason that I don't kind of full come out and say this is what I am is because I think that people's bodies change. I think that what you crave changes. And like the seasons, mm-hmm. when we eat things in season, we naturally start to not crave certain things during winter, summer, all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and I also don't want, I want to be a guiding light and share the knowledge that I have, but I don't want people to judge me from my life.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, I'm doing what works for me right now. However, that being said, a plant-based diet absolutely is what I prescribe to. Yeah. I call myself, and this pisses off a lot of people, but I call myself a vegan who cheats. Because it's, and my vegan friends.
Now I feel better. I love, because I was really struggling, Nikki. I was really struggling. But I think I can subscribe to that term, too.
I mean, it's, for me, what that means is I eat vegan most of the time. I feel healthiest. I have the most energy. I mm-hmm. don't crave anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not anal in the sense that if I'm, but I'm very, very cautious about if I am not eating vegan food, like if I am eating a little bit of meat, it's like once a month, and it is the best quality you can get, right? Eggs are like have to be the best quality. If I'm traveling to Europe, for example, I am a lot more likely to have a croissant and cappuccino sitting by the Eiffel Tower than I would be here, because it's smaller portions, it's better quality.
And you'll burn it off. You walk all over the place.
Exactly. And so here's a fun thing that people ask me all the time. Mm-hmm. What's the best thing for us to eat for our health? Mm-hmm. What would you say? The best thing that you can have for your health?
For your health? Vegetables?
Okay. So I also challenge everyone watching, mm-hmm. what's the best thing that you can eat for your health? My answer surprises a lot of people, and it's kind of a trick answer. I always say positive thoughts,
because a
positive thought or a stressful thought is going to affect you far more than the actual food that you eat.
I agree. And this is, if you're religious or not, but I always pray before mm-hmm. I eat. And it's not so much to bless the food, but it's to get my mind in the right mind frame before I consume that food. Because I want to make sure that this food, when I take it in, it is going to nourish me the way it is meant to.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And it's taking a moment to say, I'm thankful for this food. I'm thankful, that I'm going to eat it. I'm going to slow down. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're walking across the street eating a sandwich, you are not digesting that food. Sorry, you're not. It is incredibly important just to slow down, to appreciate, to get off your phone while you're eating, to get, stop watching the TV, to actually pay attention to what we're eating. And so if we're stressing about, oh my God, if you're vegan for ethical reasons, fine.
Yeah.
I also do believe, we need to stop killing all of these animals. We need to stop mass doing it. It's terrible. And that I'm, very, very pro for more of a plant-based diet. I think that people trying to go into a plant-based diet literally overnight, it's not going to happen. So the best we can do is educate. Mm-hmm. And something like What the Health for me is, it's educational, but it was sensationalized.
Yeah.
which I get and I understand, and a lot of people are going to then eat vegan after mm-hmm. that. But I think that it's also teaching people, if you're going to become plant-based or vegan, is you need to eat real foods.
Yeah.
You need to eat non-processed shit. Just because you're vegan does not mean you're healthy at all. Like, I coach a lot of clients who are vegan. But it's just, it's going back to this thing of, we know inherently fruits and vegetables are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We know that certain things are not. And we know that if it's processed, it's probably not. So we also know that animals are typically, you know, full of stuff that we don't want in our body. And so if we slow down, we pay attention to what we're eating, and we think positive thoughts, and we're not stressed about, oh my God, I ate a piece of gluten, I'm going to die now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect you more than the gluten will.
Yeah, it does. And I remember being in Paris, and I was eating, I actually don't remember what I was eating specifically, but a guy
came up to me. It was not good,
hey? A guy came up to me and he said, "You're American, huh?" And I was like, "How did you know?" He's like, "You take pictures of everything you've been eating." And that really opened my eyes. Like, you know what? Just because I take a picture doesn't mean I'm enjoying my food. I'm not paying attention to my food. So now, you know, I try not to take so many food porn selfies. I'm like, okay, put the food down.
I love that you just called it that.
And really try to take in the food. I try to shut the TV off.
Beautiful.
You know, some of the things that you kind of just said.
It can be hard, I know. But it's, I love that you're doing that. And I love that it's like the food porn. What makes me laugh is when I started my Instagram account, I have a few different ones, which is random. I have like a travel one and all of that.
Oh.
I started my big one, which became big unbeknownst that I didn't know that it would, but I started that because people were actually yelling at me to stop posting photos of my food. No joke. And I was like, fine, I'll open a new account. And I did. And then now it's like this trendy thing. And as you can see, it's like we're actually kind of trending away from that, where people are like, okay, stop. We get it. Like, you're taking photos of your food.
Yeah.
Great. Can you just, like, how annoying is it to be at the table with someone who's like, wait, hold on. No, sorry, you can't. No,
We gotta, like, move the lettuce and make the tomato look sexy and, like, put a nice filter on it. All right, so I guess what are your tips on foods to eat on the go? Yeah. Let's say if you didn't have time to meal prep, what is something that you can throw in your bag or you can pick up that you would recommend that's good for you to kind of hold you over until you get home? Because I find that most of my clients that I train, or even myself, that's what I struggle. Mm-hmm. If you open up my purse right now, I think I have a banana and a LaCroix.
Good. Nice.
So what would you suggest?
So, fun fact, go to a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
All across America, we have gas stations. In almost every single one that you can go to, try to go to one that's a little bit bigger, you can always get raw almonds.
Yes.
You can always get a banana, and you can always get a bottle of water.
Okay.
Airplanes, too. You will always find those.
Those are things to take notes.
Bring your notepad out again. And I say that do a banana over an apple because a lot of times the apples are not wrapped. You don't know how many people have touched it. You don't really have a way.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you don't really have a way
to. I'm happy I got a banana today.
Yeah. So that is the easiest one. Mm-hmm. Raw almonds, banana water. Anywhere you go pretty much across the country, you can find that. Airports, gas stations.
What about like dark chocolate almonds?
I would actually say no to those because if you look at the ingredients list, instead of it just being chocolate, which normally should have 5 ingredients in it for a bar of chocolate, they put all these other things in it. So it's instead of looking at the calories or the fat or anything like that, I actually say look at the ingredients list. Dark chocolate, 70%, definitely. If you have a sweet tooth, absolutely grab a bar of that. I think that, you know, if you're, let's say you're running errands, you need to stop off, grab lunch somewhere. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to this, how many vegetables are in it? I always ask to modify too. People are terrified to do it. And I'll be like, for a salad, I'll be like, oh, well, can I actually get the bread on the side? Like, you know, if it comes with like a little crostini.
Or
like,
the dressing on the side.
Yeah, can I get the dressing on the side? And can I get an extra side of avocado? Or can I get, do you guys have quinoa by chance? Can I have some quinoa? Do you have brown rice? Sushi restaurants, I always ask if they have brown rice, they'll happily make that with brown rice. Or if they don't, you can say, can I have it with half the rice? And you still get the same great flavors. You still get to dip it in the soy sauce, whatever it is. And it's just half the rice.
I love that.
Or you ask, can I have some extra cucumber in it or whatever? So mm-hmm. there's all these little tricks of don't be afraid to ask to modify mm-hmm. and really try to focus just on the actual vegetable content. And then if you can get some sort of plant-based protein like beans or lentils or quinoa, that's mm-hmm. going to be a really good bet because that'll like tie you over really high in fiber. Mm-hmm. So the whole paleo thing for me is if it works, fine, but most people are not getting enough fiber in their diets.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Do you prescribe then maybe psyllium husk as fiber, or is that a bad thing?
No, it's definitely not a bad thing. But I would say if you're eating enough fruits and vegetables and whole grains and, you know, things like beans are this magical thing. And I know that, you know, the paleo community is super, super against it. If you get beans, you soak them and then you cook them. It takes away a lot of the gas and bloating that you might mm-hmm. get. But beans are the only food on the planet that have the highest protein to fiber ratio.
Oh,
It's like 15 grams of protein versus fiber, which is unheard of in any other food, meaning that it's going to, you know, cleanse out your digestion. It's going to help you digest food quicker, mm-hmm. metabolize everything, and it's protein. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's certain things like this, like beans, lentils, quinoa, amazing, amazing sources of protein. And you can get those, like, if I'm on the go, if I flew into another city, I'll go to Whole Foods or any sort of grocery store. Mm-hmm. And if I can grab anything, it's like I grab carrots on the go. Mm-hmm. I will grab hummus.
Love hummus.
Always get the organic hummus, the non-GMO mm-hmm. ones.
Yeah.
Because hummus, again, is one of those things that there's a lot of really bad ingredients.
Yeah, there is.
Like stabilizers and mm-hmm. nasties.
Yeah.
You gotta look out for that dangerous food.
I know, it's scary. I am like a label connoisseur now. Good. I just like go around just reading labels. Yeah. I used to shop in like 5 minutes. I knew what I wanted. Now it takes me like an hour because I'm like, oh, but I don't know about this. But wait, what is that? I'm not sure.
So going back to Whole Foods then. Yeah. A Whole Food isn't going to have the label and it's not going to have all of this nasty shit in it.
Yeah.
You know?
So we have only a couple minutes left, but I have a couple more questions.
Yes.
As far as meal prepping, I personally, I get sick of eating the same things over and over. So what are some tips to meal prep in a way where you can switch it up and not be confined to eating the same meal every day for like a week?
Right. This is why I'm super excited about my book, because I break it down exactly for that, for the people that got so sick of meal prepping mm-hmm. and eating the same thing. A tip would be, let's say you're making a salad for lunch. Mm-hmm. One day, switch up the vegetables so that, you know, you have tomatoes and chicken. The next day, put cucumbers and brown rice and black beans. And then the next day, again, rotate with that. And then the last day, we'll say, add on some avocado, put in some celery, and then change the dressing. And it's like you have the same thing. You've meal prepped pretty
like
much the base. You've meal prepped almost the exact same amount of ingredients, and you can take all the ingredients and just mix and match them and be like, well, today I'm going to have this. And mm-hmm. if you don't use black beans, let's say, in your salad, you can use them in a stir fry at night. So mm-hmm. it's like you've still meal prepped them. You still get to use them.
Okay.
And you're cutting down actually on meal prepping lots of different things. And then switching up things like herbs, so mm-hmm. cilantro, basil, rosemary, mm-hmm. all of these delicious things.
The
taste will change, and then you can change up the dressings. Like if you add tahini into a dressing, it becomes creamy.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, whoa, this is a totally different dressing. Or even doing like a pesto dressing, and you let it like marinate on some zucchini mm-hmm. noodles the night before. Suddenly you have this really incredible tasting pasta from zucchini noodles. You add some chicken or mm-hmm. some tempeh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, simple. I'm getting hungry right now as you're talking. I'm like, okay, what am I going to cook for dinner tonight?
Yeah, what are you going to cook?
I'm thinking actually I have some vegetables and I have this ginger dressing. Mm, and I think I'm just going to do some stir fry with the ginger dressing and then maybe save some of the vegetables because you talked about tahini and make a tahini salad tomorrow with it.
Perfect. Or you can always like roast a big ass batch of vegetables on like mm-hmm. a Sunday. Sunday and Wednesday are my kind of two
days.
Like meal prep days, mm-hmm. Sunday nights and then Wednesday evenings. And you just roast a big thing and then you literally have these delicious roasted vegetables that you can throw in stir fries or salads or eat raw or like dip in dressings.
How do you feel about, I guess, frozen vegetables? Do you buy them in the bag?
Yeah. Okay. Or if you buy organic frozen vegetables, they're actually really good because they've sealed in the nutrients. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was unsure. I'm like, should I? Shouldn't I? Yeah. But it makes life easier. Super. When
and
are.
You know, it's like if frozen vegetables are going to get you to eat vegetables.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, last question. Yeah. As far as like alcohol, you know, is there any tips that you can give us if we are going to drink alcohol? How should we have it? Like, do you do like instead of a margarita, a shot of Patron and like fresh limes?
Yeah,
and
can we have some of that right now?
I know. Wait, maybe this. Right? Who knows? You haven't drank. Maybe this is
the cheers.
Cheers. Do you have any tips in terms of like alcohol? Because I mean, I'm social and I don't want to be a complete party pooper, but I don't want to poop out on all my fitness goals. So.
Totally. So, and I love that you're saying that because it's relatable to your life. And that's what I keep saying.
This show
everyone.
Is just about me.
It
this
just,
is,
yeah.
This is really about, I'm doing this for you so you can watch what it's about me.
Yeah. So make it work for your life is the big thing. If like I still drink, I still go out. Do not do any sugary sweeteners. Like, do not do cranberry juice or tonic. Those are going to make you feel like crap the next day. And if we feel
like... even tonic.
Oh, tonic is super, super high in sugar. Super high.
I did not know that. Why
She's
did
like,
I not
damn
know
it.
That?
Damn it.
Okay, because you would think...
Soda water is good. Tonic is
okay.
Tonic
so soda
has
water,
a lot of... Yeah, so what I mean, if I'm going to drink vodka, it's... I would do a vodka soda with a lot of fresh squeezed lime to kind of counterbalance because there's lots of vitamin C in it. I personally, I think red wine is a really beautiful thing. White wine tends to have a little bit more sugar.
Try
to keep it as clean as possible, right? So if you're doing a margarita, if you really, really, really want a margarita, have a margarita.
Yeah.
Right? But try to have a higher quality margarita from a nicer place versus, you know, your like $5.
The house.
Yeah, the house margarita. Like, that's going to make you feel like shit.
What I do too is I try to, like you said, buy the nicer margarita, but I'll ask them to put like double the shots. So that way I don't have to put in two margaritas into my body.
I love it.
You like get a better bang for your buck and your calories.
So what you can do, I mean, you can do that and then just ask them to put maybe more soda water instead of the...
Like the sour.
The sweet and sour. Yeah. So most sweet and sour mixes that they do, they did not make it themselves, which means that it's really bad. So you can just say, can you please make it less sweet? Add some soda water.
Yeah.
Add some extra lime.
Yeah.
And then eventually you would just take out the sweet and sour, or you just say, can you do like a splash of it?
Splash. That's good.
Yeah, a splash. Yeah. Anything that you're putting a lot of... like. Cafe Gratitude actually has a lot of superfood drinks now. And so they're, you know, they're incorporating things like lemon and spirulina into drinks that still taste good, but are nourishing your body at the same time. I'm like, that's a win-win.
I'm thinking about like making my own margaritas this weekend, giving me all these ideas.
I know. I want a margarita now. That sounds good.
We should go get one, a healthy one after this.
A healthy one.
All right. So unfortunately we are out of time, but I had so much fun with you.
So much fun too. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, and please let everybody know where they can find you online, you know, social media, website, when they can look out for book two, how they can get book one in the app that's currently
so they talk
out right
for
now.
5 minutes.
Yes.
No. You guys can find me at Nikki Sharp on Instagram. Just search my name, NikkiSharp.com. And book two is coming out in May, so stay tuned. But you guys will be able to pre-order it. Really, really excited for that. And
maybe we can get a copy signed, give it
away. Oh, yeah. We'll definitely do that. That'll be fun. And, yeah, go follow me, check it out. And I love when you guys all... kind of talk to me online because I do what I do in order to help people. And if people aren't commenting to me and asking questions, I'm like, well,
what am
I doing?
Yeah.
So I love when people engage with me. So,
okay. Well, thank you for engaging with me and us on the show. And hopefully we'll have you on again when your book two comes out. Thanks you guys for tuning in. We'll be here same time, same place next week on Fit Club. Take care.
Woo-hoo.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us.
info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.